Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopijan Balaba Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Vishupada Paramahamsa Parijakacharya Sutta Sutta Sri Srimad Abhay Chanar Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Vishupad Paramahamsa Parijakacharya Sutta Rasata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So we're reading from 7th Canto, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society for Social Classes. text 25. Strinam chapati devanam tat shushrusha nukulata tat bandhushvanu vrittishcha nityam tat vratadharanam srinam cha pati devanam tat shushrusha nukulata tat bandhushvanu vrittishcha nityam tat vratadharanam srinam cha pati devanam tat chushrusha nukulata tat bandhushvanu vrittishcha nityam tat vratadharanam Srinam chapati devanam tachushrusha nukulata tadvandushvanu vrittishcha nityam tadvratadharanam Srinam chapati devanam tachushrusha nukulata tadvandushvanu vrittishcha nityam tadvratadharanam Madris Srinam chapati devanam tachushrusha nukulata tadbandhushvanu vrittishcha nityam tadvratadharanam Srinam chapati devanam tachushrusha nukulata tadbandhushvanu vrittishcha nityam tadvratadharanam srinam chapati devanam tachushrusha nukulata tadbandhushvanu Nityam tad vratadharanam. The word to word translation, Srinam of women, cha, also, pati devanam, who have accepted their husbands as worshipable, tad shushrusha, readiness to render service, to her husband. Anukulata, being favorably disposed towards her husband. Tadbandushu, unto the friends and relatives of the husband. Anuvritti, being similarly disposed to treat them well for the satisfaction of the husband. Nityam, regularly. Tat vratadharanam, accepting the vows of the husband, or acting exactly as the husband acts. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, to render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed toward the husband, to be equally well disposed toward the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women described as chaste. Purport. It is very important for peaceful householder life that a woman follows the vow of her husband. Any disagreement with the husband's vow will disrupt family life. In this regard, Chanakya Pandit gives a very valuable instruction. Dampatyo kalaho nasti tatra shri swayam agata. When there are no fights between husband and wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the home. A woman's education should be conducted along the lines indicated in this verse. The basic principle for a chaste woman is to be always favorably disposed toward her husband. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 1 verse 40, it is said, Strishu dushtashu varsnaya jayate varnashankara. If the women are polluted, there will be Varnashankara population. In modern terms, the Varnashankara are the hippies who do not follow any regulative injunctions. Another explanation is that when the population is Varnashankara, no one can know who is on what platform. The Varnashram system scientifically divides society into four Varnas and four Ashramas. But in Varnashankara society, there are no such distinctions, and no one can know who is who. In such a society, no one can distinguish between a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, and a Shudra. For peace and happiness in the material world, the Varnashram institution must be introduced. The symptoms of one's activities must be defined, and one must be educated accordingly. Then spiritual advancement will automatically be possible. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading the verse 25. It's continuation of the... these five chapters from chapter 11 onwards, and they talk about Varnashram and the glorifying Varnashram Dharma, and as Prabhu explained yesterday in the class. And we have the five verses, which is from 25 to 29, which is going to discuss about the duties of a chaste wife. And... It's interesting because we can see in the modern society, actually we, you know, for our Western outreach, there has been times when, you know, when we're reading together and when we're reading these books together, Prabhupada books together with some of the new people, and we ask them, if you heard the word chastity before? They have no clue, a lot of times. And it's not a word that we would commonly use in modern society, and is obviously not the principles that we would commonly follow either. And so the dictionary definition of the word chastity is someone who doesn't have extramarital affairs, but actually chastity is more than just that. And here in the Bhagavatam, it's explained the principles. So over the next five verses, it's explaining the duties of a chaste wife. And the four principles that are introduced or explained here are for a wife is to render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed toward the husband, to be equally well disposed toward the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. So now that can look quite difficult, sometimes, because then where do we find these qualified husbands, you know, that would really not demand but command such a service? So we can see in India, we still have the remnants of that Vedic culture, where the males may be qualified somewhat, but that's just a remnant of the culture that's left, and it's diminishing pretty fast. And there may be small patches of this culture found in places outside of India, but for the majority, most of the people, they're just living by what makes them feel good. So there's no real obligation, there's no real commitment or chastity of any kind. It's also interesting because now we live in the times when the men and the women, and they have had so many relationships before they actually come to committing one relationship and having a marriage. It's that having gone through so much of different relationships, it's very hard for them to actually commit to any one relationship, and it's of course very difficult for them to be really chaste in that relationship. And so people actually coming up with all kinds of the most bizarre ways of having relationships. So here Prabhupada explains in the purport that it's very important for peaceful householder life that a woman follows the vow of her husband. So what's that vow of the husband? Well, that's the vow of the initiation that the husband takes. And in that way, the husband is following the guru and the instructions of the guru and the vows that are taken. The guru is following Krishna, and according to Bhagavatam, is the woman or the wife is following the husband. So, when these vows are followed, then this life, that's a life in mode of goodness. And in that way, guru is pleased, in that way, Krishna is pleased, and then there is a peaceful circumstance. And but when these vows are not followed, well, then the situation is very much in mode of passion, and so therefore naturally there is fight. There is no real, there is no peaceful household life anymore. So we know the pastime of Lord Ram when Marichi wanted to. You know, Ravana had the whole plan of kidnapping Sita, and when the Ram had gone to the forest, and Marichi, in the voice of Lord Ram, called out for Sita and Lakshman, help. And at that point, Sita heard the voice, and she asked Lakshman to go and help Lord Ram, and Lakshman knew that Lord Ram can never be in difficulty because he's the most expert warrior. And so he was not at all disturbed, and he was doing his duty of looking after Sita as Lord Ram has instructed. But then Mother Sita got very upset, and he said that, no, you're not going to protect Lord Ram because you are lazy and because you wanted to enjoy me. And then at that point Lakshman had to leave without his will, and He created a protective line that Sita should not cross, and for as long as she remains within that circle, she will be protected. And anyway, Ravana had his tricks, and she tricked Sita. But that protective circle is like for us, our vows to our spiritual master, and the instructions of the spiritual masters that we try to follow. And in that way, our life remains peaceful. But as soon as we cross that line, then there is a chaos. So here Prabhupada explains that when there are no fights between husband and wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the home, because naturally Krishna is pleased with such a family life, and so naturally goddess of fortune resides there. As I remember from my own experience, in my whole life as a growing up as a child, and even as a teenager, I practically hardly remember my parents ever fight.
So there was never argument, at least in front of the children. So me and my brother, we never really remember seeing our children angry at each other. The only time we remember that something has gone wrong is when they're not talking to each other. And but there is no real fight or like shouting or. But yeah, so because of that, we could see for ourselves how the house was just so much well maintained. You know, it felt like, you know, when there's a whole chaos in the world, when you come home, there's peace. And we can expect that, and therefore there's a sense of comfort, there's a sense of happiness when you come to this house, because there's no fights in the house. We would talk about situations when things are going out of balance, and we would talk our way out of it, we would discuss the situation, etc., but there's no fight. And so then that way, it's very much a house or a household in mode of goodness, and that's very pleasant for Krishna to come, for the goddess of fortune to come, and everyone can live very happily in that way. So here, you know, here in this translation and next four or five verses, where it's explained a lot of principles for a chaste wife, and it might feel that, you know, there's a lot of rules, there's a lot of regulations, but actually these rules and regulations are not just for wife, they're there for husband too. There is also regulations for the, in the yesterday's verse, Prabhu explained about how the regulations for the Shudras and for the Brahmanas and for Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. So the regulations for everyone, and all these regulations, all these rules are established so we can have a happy and peaceful life, and in this material world, and of course have the bandwidth to be able to transcend this world. So have the bandwidth to be able to think about what's higher, what's more important. So otherwise we just get caught up in what's less important, and just fighting over something that's trivial. So also it's important to understand that all these regulations explained here, actually just a few verses later, it explains that all these regulations for a chaste wife of following the husband is to the husband who is not fallen, you know. So in other words, everyone has to follow a leader, everyone has to follow someone. So as long as that leader is not fallen, one can follow. So there's nothing wrong in it. And so Prabhupada is explaining that a woman's education should be conducted along the lines indicated in this verse. So we can see that there is the varnashram system with the ashramas, where boys from the age of 5 would go and live in the Gurukul under the guidance of the Guru and Guru Mata, and they would follow the instructions of the Guru, do menial services for him, and learn all kinds of education from them. And the training will continue for next 20 years, at least 20, 25 years, before the person chooses to get married, or if he chooses to get married. So the training in the beginning of few years is a very crucial, very important for him to then lead next life or next part of his life, of householder life, and etc. And here Prabhupada explains that for a woman, it's a different kind of training, and the training is in training in serving and in training how to look after the family. And that's very important too, because we recognize that there's difference in the physiological and psychological makeup of a body of a man and the body of a woman. And so therefore there are different kinds of training that are given which are necessary for and suitable for that particular body. And we all have in family, everyone has their own unique roles, and so Vedic society and the culture acknowledged and gave their own particular recommendations that would be unique to them. So this chaste lifestyle produces good progeny, because we understand that the consciousness of the male and the consciousness of the female, when they're united, attracts a certain kind of child in the family. And when they both are living a sacred lifestyle, when they both are living pious lifestyle, and when there's an atmosphere of goodness, then naturally the child who is attracted, or the soul that's attracted to that family, is also in mode of goodness. And in that way, one has the opportunity to rise a more qualified population, upcoming population for the future. The social research says that most of the children born these days are after Friday nights. So that's doesn't surprise why there's so much of chaos in society. So there's no, in Vedic society, there's nothing whimsical, you know. There's preparation of the consciousness. And so here Prabhupada also explains that quoting the chapter, first chapter, the 40th verse, where it says that if women are polluted, then there will be Varna Shankara population. So, and then we can see, you know, because we've been traveling a bit during marathon, and we saw so many children roaming around in the street and completely clueless as to what they should be doing, you know, in the countryside. And we see them in city also so much. And we see also the parents who are completely clueless. And so many times, so I try to stop, sometimes we try to stop people on the streets, and they're fighting on the street in front of children. The children are small, and you know, it's like they have no clue, you know, like how to have a proper family life, and how, you know, what's good for the children, what's not. So because of that, the children who are coming along is also very confused, and they really don't know whom to look up to and whom to go to when they are confused, and when they have questions. So naturally their questions are resolved through their friends, and through intoxications, and through movies, and often it doesn't lead to no good, doesn't lead to any good. And so there's a lot of chaos. So it's in our favor that we follow these scriptural injunctions, of following the injunctions as recommended for the women, for the men, for different varnas, for different ashramas. Because when we follow all these instructions, then everything becomes more peaceful, as Prabhupada is explaining here. Everything becomes quite, then there's happiness. And so Prabhupada is saying, for peace and happiness in the material world, the varnashram institution must be introduced. The symptom of one's activities must be defined, and one must be educated accordingly. Then spiritual advancement will automatically be possible. So we can see how when there's a peaceful household, and when the children are peaceful, then we have the time and the opportunity to really think about what's our nature. Also through astrology, a lot of time parents try and help the children find out what the nature is, and accordingly engage them in activities that are going to be natural for them, for natural for the children. And a lot of times the modern education is all about comparison. So we often end up taking on the subjects or the careers which are not actually in our nature. We just do that because that's what's going to make the most money, or that's what's considered reputable. But then very soon the children find out that that's not their nature and they drop out, and then they do another course and then they drop out and they do another course and they can never really figure out. And then they keep changing the subjects from one to another, and it's a radical change, you know, from one subject to another. It's got nothing to do with them. And they're just constantly jumping around because they can't really find what's natural for them, what's their true nature, what's their dharma. And there's a Vedic system and finding out what our nature is, even material nature. And when we find out that, and when we work with that, then our mind becomes peaceful. And even though we may not be making a lot of money, even though it might not earn us a lot of fame, we become peaceful and we somewhat become happily situated in our life. And then it becomes easier to think about something higher. I was speaking to my father, and he was mentioning about, you know, he got some award for working in the same company and doing the same role for 35 years, and I was and we were having a chat, and I was talking to him that this is very unusual for the times that we live in, to do the same role in the same company for 35 years. It's something is beyond imagination for the youth of today, where they change roles every year and they change companies every 1 or 2 years. And my father's, and so I was asking my father, like, why would you do this? You know, why did you decide to just keep doing the same thing for so long? Did you not feel like having a change? And it was interesting. My father's reply was quite interesting and deep, I felt. He was saying that, well, this is natural for me. I work and I like the work and I'm good at it. But after having done it for a certain amount of time, I don't have to worry about it too much. I just do it very easily and naturally. And in that way, I'm peaceful. So then I can focus on things that are more important for me, which are his spiritual activities and his chanting and his preaching and how he's thinking about how he can expand his service and so on and so forth. So it really shows how when the material situations are peaceful, then we can focus on our spiritual life more. And so therefore, Prabhupada is explaining here how when we have a proper, in the very last line of the purport, where Prabhupada says that the symptoms of one's activities must be defined and one must be educated accordingly. So understanding our nature and really going through a proper education and training based on their natures, then Prabhupada says at the end, then spiritual advancement will automatically be possible. So in yesterday's class, Prabhupada explained very well how Prabhupada didn't have the time and opportunity to establish Varnashram Dharma because the priority was establishing Krishna consciousness, but that was his desire, and that was the rest of the 50% of his work of establishing the Varnashram Dharma. But the more we work with it, or the more we try to work with it, it becomes easy to practice our spiritual life. It becomes easy to practice Krishna consciousness. So I was thinking of this last point that to discuss was about, because it talks about the chastity, in Vedic society the men are trained into the brahmacharya from very young age, and they have gone through the whole training and education, and the women are trained from very young age and they have proper education. But now that we sort of come from backgrounds where we didn't have so much of training and education for most of us, and so then how do we follow some of these principles in our own life? Although it's very difficult, one thing that we definitely have to do is that we need to learn to be able to tolerate our own desires and tolerate the other person in the family life, because although the wife is supposed to follow the husband, or if the husband is supposed, according to the Bhagavatam, we're just repeating the words of the Bhagavatam, and the husband is supposed to follow the instructions of the guru, none of them are easy, because our own conditioning is just very strong from last 15, 20, 30 years of pre-Krishna conscious lifestyles. So we have to tolerate that conditioning, and at least intellectually we have to understand and use the intelligence and understand that what is good for us on a longer term. And so tolerate some inconvenience, and Prabhupada established the ashram system, where for those who have the opportunity should take the opportunity and get some training. So is it brahmacharya training or brahmacharini training? Even if it is done for a few years or 1 or 2 years, the results are very, very amazing. And one actually learns the proper way of having Guru and Krishna in the center of one's life. And in that way it becomes somewhat easy to practice the spiritual life in the household life. And yeah, one has to if one hasn't had that formal training in the brahmacharini ashram, one should still try as much as possible to keep the instructions of Guru and Krishna in the center, and follow the vows that we have taken to the best of our ability. And in that way, it will become easy for us to follow these principles that are otherwise very, very hard to understand or to follow. A lot of time when people are not devotees and when they read something like this, then it feels very, very restricting. But actually, we devotees understand that these are the regulative principles of freedom. Actually, that these regulations would actually help us transcend the material conditioning, and it will help us easily come to spiritual platform. So I'll finish with that and see if anyone has any questions or comments or corrections. Yes, Bill.
What do you think about the idea of or the sequence within which the Varnashram principles, or in this case, the Varna principles, right? Next chapter's ashram. This one's Varna. Before Prabhupada gets to Varna, he talks about the 30 qualities that an individual has to cultivate. And so it appears that they come before the Varnashram designation. In other words, they've got to be human beings first. And so the notion of Varnashram is predicated by qualified people, rather than Varnashram and then we'll get qualified people. Is that reasonable?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we say sometimes, oh, if we have Varnashram then everything will be fantastic. Right? But at least according to that sequence, we won't have Varnashram until we've got people, human beings. Otherwise, we're just dealing with a bunch of animals.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, and in that regard, you know, this advice is quite reasonable, that the women match the men. And we know that's pretty much axiomatic. But when there's a mismatch between the men and the women, we have chaos. What is it? Every week in Australia, a woman is killed by her spouse. Did you know that? Pretty heavy. Heavy statistic. Huh? That's right. And we could assume that's a mismatch. Right. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, sometimes the vows of the husband may not be very elevated. Right? Or you know, the inclination. Not everybody is chanting 16 rounds and following the rules and regulations. And even, actually it's interesting, even in a society like ours, where devotees have high aspirations, they still fight. Because this, you know, there's this struggle between the lower and the higher self in all individuals, pretty much. Which is interesting, because that's why that, you know, those 30 qualities, if we have those cultivated, right, then life is a bit easier to live. Mm. But still, again, the principle of a wife matching a husband still is valid. Because we even see it sometimes in... we have a situation where the wife is enthusiastic about regulated devotional practice, right? But the husband's not. And it creates stress in the family. Or vice versa, the husband is keen to practice bhakti, you know, the rules and regulations of bhakti, but the wife is not, and that creates tension in the family. Right? And then, you know, we get people ringing us up and saying, why do you Hare Krishnas break up families? Right? Well, we don't, actually. That's not our... We don't set out to. Right? Okay, we're going to break up this family now. We don't. But it's interesting, isn't it, where we see a good match between a boy and a girl, or a husband and a wife, then we get a good devotees, usually. So is it, so my question is it true that Varnashram will make it easier for us to practice spiritual life? Or is it spiritual practice will make it easier for us to perform, to implement Varna and Ashram, structured, ordered society?
Hmm.
What do you think?
I can just share my understanding, and I would like you to answer the question. But my understanding is, and that's the reason why Prabhupada established Krishna consciousness first, is because by Krishna consciousness, all the qualities are manifest in a person. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, for us who didn't have that fortune or that opportunity to have the training and education and that cultivation from childhood, then at certain age now we just practice Krishna consciousness and hope that all the qualities will manifest in due course of our practice. But for those who have that opportunity, they can get the training from the childhood and can cultivate those qualities based on the natures, and then that can help with the Varnashram system. But for us, we can cultivate the qualities first, and as we start acting according to our natures, that would bring about the Varnashram.
So spiritual life first.
Yeah,
I think that's
for us, yeah.
But So then the statement, Varnashrama will make spiritual life easier. Is that true or not? What do you think?
These qualities, my understanding is these qualities are referred to Varnashram Dharma, qualities of that belonging to the Varnashram Dharma, like when someone is very courageous and someone is who likes to sort of take the administrative roles, and then we refer to that as Kshatriya qualities. As we practice Krishna consciousness more, I think our natures sort of become refined a little bit better, the conditioning goes away, and what's natural to us comes out more clearly and without that exploitative nature. And so in that way, the Varnashram qualities are coming out. So in that way, and the more those qualities come out, then that makes it easy for us to practice Krishna consciousness. So it's kind of like supporting each other.
So they may be mutually supportive.
Yeah,
not
supporting each other. Yeah. Not one without other.
Yeah, it's interesting that the first qualification is satyam, right? Truthfulness. And it's the quality that's emphasized for the sutras. And not stealing, right? Prabhupada mentions in that purport. And the Bhagavatam... Okay. That's all right. I'm just wondering... for the sutras, Prabhupada, and the verse emphasizes truthfulness and not stealing, right? Which are like fairly basic qualities that you would expect in everyone, right? So Varnashram supports spiritual life, spiritual life supports Varnashram, but more important is spiritual life, because otherwise, no, without the good qualifications you can't even be a sudra. Even I notice in Krishna consciousness we have a lot of devotees, but they still can't tell the truth. Have you noticed that? They still tell lies. Huh? You know that they've done something. You ask them whether they've done it. They say, no, I didn't do it. And we're supposed to be brahmanas. Huh? We can't even get to the level of sudras.
And you also mentioned about astrology. Don't we have any free will? Because, you know, when you're talking, you're saying, you know, astrology takes... if it is astrology, it becomes a fatalistic society.
Becomes?
Fatalistic society.
Oh, okay.
So, Krishna has given us a free choice. So, don't we take...
When I was referring to more in the sense of... There are families that I know who did refer to the astrologer to find out what the nature of the child is. So what's natural for the child. And in that way, it just becomes easier for parents to engage the children according to the natures. So it's not, of course, the children will study other subjects and do other things also. But when they're exposed more on the subjects which are natural for them, then it becomes more fun, it becomes more easy for them. And they grow more in that because they get that opportunity from the very young age. But of course, the parents are not going to shut off all the other subjects, you know, so it's not fatalistic in that sense.
Just because we have an understanding or an appreciation of a person's nature doesn't mean that they've lost their choice or their free will.
Yes. Right?
So the notion of free will and prescription, if you like, can have to be balanced because they're not mutually exclusive. You know, if you're born as a man, well, generally speaking, life is determined in a particular way, right? But you've still got free will to behave. So karma is such that you'll have a certain amount of parameters defined for you due to your past actions, but you've still got choice and you still have so-called free will. So just because, and my mum was like that too, you know, she didn't like astrology, you know, because it was like, oh no, you mean, and that's basically a misunderstanding. Astrology is an indication. It's a measurement. It's a bit like, you know, when you go to a tailor, the tailor measures you first before he makes your clothes. Otherwise, they're not going to fit very well. Right. So, similarly, if we want to outfit or equip a child for their future happiness, or not so much happiness, but, you know, their future engagements practically, then the astrological system is kind of that measuring of the qualities and characteristics of a person. And that's where astrology, that's its strength, is that we can look at by identifying a person's place and time of birth, the positioning of all of the stars and planets give us a good indication of the qualities and characteristics of the individual. So we cut their cloth accordingly. But we're not, you know, maybe not such a good example, but ordinarily we can't change a man into a woman and a woman into a man. Or only in extreme circumstances would we do such a thing, right? It's an emergency because things are not fitting properly.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhu, you mentioned about chastity and purity. So I'd like to ask, where is the importance of chastity in devotional service? Because we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sati, she was a very chaste wife. And she was Sati in the fourth canto. She was a chaste wife to Lord Shiva, but she was neither protected by her husband or by her father, Daksha Prajapati, who took care of everyone, but he didn't take care of his own daughter, who was like the pet amongst his daughters. So why didn't he protect his daughter?
So Sati was a chaste wife to Lord Shiva, but we read in the fourth canto that she was not protected by Lord Shiva or by Daksha, his father, although his father regarded her as pet child. So even though she was chaste, why was she not protected? So she was a chaste wife, but we read in the fourth canto, as the pastime goes, how she wanted to go and attend the particular ceremony where all his family members were going, and even though Lord Shiva told her that, look, it's not a good idea for you to go because there won't be any respect for me, and therefore there will not be any respect for you either, and so it's better for you not to go. But because she was so attracted by the glamour of the whole activity that's going to take place, and her desire to really go and participate in that, she went there regardless, ignoring the advice and instruction of her husband, and that led to all the misfortune. And we can learn from it. When even though we may be chased in to our spiritual master or to our mentor or our leader, when we try and excuse ourselves of what is recommended to us, then it can lead to trouble. Even though we may be very good devotees, even though we may be very chaste wife, it can still lead to problems. So therefore it's recommended that one follows the instructions and the guidance. Yeah.
Well, Shiva wasn't going to tie her up.
No. That is
she
free
had
will.
Her free will, and he let her go.
Yeah.
But he knew the consequences.
Yeah.
He knew the consequences, but she was too enamored by the, what is it? Society, friendship, and love. As Prabhupada says. Yeah, good question. But, you know. And so in that sense, she wasn't that chaste. Because she didn't follow the vow of her husband. Right? Realistically. Yeah. She's known as being chaste, but, and she is, on one level, but on another level got distracted by external affairs. And so didn't follow the vow of her husband, and look at the consequences, which is further, it supports this, it doesn't contradict, it actually supports what's being said here.
Yeah.
Right, Sibya? Yeah. And so Shiva was a qualified husband. Right? He was a qualified husband, but she didn't follow his instructions. And later on Prabhupada says, you know, a wife doesn't have to follow an unqualified husband, and a husband doesn't have to can reject an unqualified wife.
A few verses later.
Not get married again, by the way. But he does make the point that qualification is important.
Okay. Thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.